The Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Rod. We've got part with Will Wheaton about the moment in time where it became very cool in the world to be a geek. Plus, we talked to Lou Diamond Phillips about the new season of Longmire and a movie project that he's pretty excited about. Plus, from Jonah Hex to Thanos, Josh Brolin picks up another comic book role. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
A weekly show on a major cable network dedicated to nothing more than gaming, comics, and everything we love. That exactly describes the Will Wheaton Project, Will's new show on the Sci-Fi Network. But you know, there was a time when being a geek and at least talking about it wasn't really that cool. So when did all that change? Will weighs in.
I think there was a moment in time, and I couldn't tell you exactly what it was, but there was a moment maybe in the last 15 years where those of us who grew up, as you described, decided that we'd had enough. And that we weren't going to be ashamed of the things that we loved. And there were creators like Peter Jackson and Joss Whedon who were making things that came, that came out of the type of speculative fiction that we all grew up loving. And when that speculative fiction was exposed to a wider audience, I think that wider audience realized that they liked it too, and that this wasn't something that had to be sort of like confined to the stereotypical basements and rec rooms that everyone thought it sort of needed to be in. And at the same time, those of us who love all of those things, who love tabletop gaming, who love comic books, who love superheroes and science fiction and fantasy, we were starting to ascend to positions in the creative world where we could make decisions about what was gonna, you know, what was gonna get greenlit. And we just started showing the rest of the world, like, look, man, these are the things that we love. And while that was happening, computers and technology and smartphones and tablets became bigger parts of everyone's lives. And those of us that had spent the last 30 years understanding that landscape, we were sort of like, we became guides. And we became really useful for people who didn't know how to uninstall toolbars in their browsers. I think it sort of created this thing where the world became aware, as I have said, that being a nerd is not about what you love. It's about the way that you love a thing. So someone who's a nerd for Formula One racing or someone who's a nerd for baseball or football realizes that they love their sport or they love high finance the same way I love Dungeons and Dragons or the same way that I love video games. And I think we realized that we actually had more in common than not.
And of course, Will still has his acting career. And beyond that, a long-term goal as to what he'd like to see as, well, his legacy.
A million years ago, I took a marketing class that was about how actors can market themselves. And it's kind of how I learned that in scripted fiction, I should play the character that you love to hate. Even though that's not who I am in real life, that is that's who I am in drama. It's who I played on Leverage and on Eureka and in The Guild. It's how I started out in The Big Bang Theory. And part of this marketing class, the man who taught it told us that we really should all find, all of us who are actors, we should really find a purpose in our lives that's bigger than us, something that a task that we could never complete, something that we can always be sort of working on. And I spent a lot of time figuring out, like, what I think my greater purpose in life is. And what I came down to is I want to inspire people to greatness. And I want to be the kind of person that I hoped my kids would look up to when they were younger. And when I am given the incredible privilege of speaking slightly above the background noise. It's real important to me to have something to say. And I am incredibly grateful that I have been able to, like, occasionally be the internet's dad. It's why when I got to go speak to Penny Arcade Expo in 2007, the message that I wanted everyone to take away from that was, don't be a dick. Let's have fun when we play online games, and let's be kind to each other when we're in real life. And, you know, just don't be a dick about it. And it's why I've wanted to inspire people to get excited and make things. And, you know, I have always pushed that philosophy every chance that I get.
Will Wheaton and the Will Wheaton Project every Tuesday on Sci-Fi. You can also see more at sci-fi.com. You know what that little sound means? It is the latest in pop culture. It's in figures when you check the box office for X-Men Days of Future Past. In the United States, right now, it so far has surpassed a few of the movies in the X-Men franchise, bringing in just about $160 million, a little over that. That's more than X-Men First Class and The Wolverine and the first X-Men movie. However, as far as U.S. box office goes, it still trails X-Men Origins Wolverine, X2, and X-Men The Last Stand. However, around the world, a much different story. Overall, it's picked up over $500 million, which makes it the number one movie in the X-Men franchise for worldwide distribution. Josh Brolin has been tapped as the voice of Thanos for Guardians of the Galaxy, and more than likely continuing the character in the Avengers Age of Ultron next year. Thanos made a brief appearance in the post-credit sequence in The Avengers, and so it was set up that he'd be a major character in these next two films. Brolin, by the way, is also in Sin City, A Dame to Kill For later this summer, and was in DC's movie adaptation of Jonah Hex a couple of years ago. Along with a price increase to be part of Amazon Prime, now you might be getting a little something extra. They're adding a music streaming service to Amazon Prime for members who are willing to pay the now $99 a year price. The streaming service will include music from major labels. Sony and Warner Brothers Music have already signed on. And again, the cost for $99 a year also includes, of course, free two-day shipping and the Prime movie and TV streaming service from Amazon. The Sci-Fi Network has chosen to bring Bitten back for a second season. The werewolf drama had fairly decent ratings in its first run. No word yet on when that second season will premiere. The news not so good for the Arsenio Hall show. It will not make it to a second season. A spokesperson for the network that distributes it, CBS, said that it was due to ratings challenges. Get your list started for exclusives in San Diego because they're already starting to get announced. NECA has announced an entire run of exclusives they'll have for sale at this year's Comic-Con, including a black and white Batman and Joker, a two-pack with the Silver Centurion Iron Man, and the Spider-Man version from the Marvel's comic series, and a new Predator character as well from an upcoming Dark Horse comic. Again, these will be available at San Diego, and as we get closer to San Diego time, we'll start giving you pictures and places where you can grab them if you make the show.
The point.
Checklist in one hand and a wallet in the other. Let's head into the comic stores and see what's waiting for us this week. DC continues the doomed storyline in the Superman titles in Action number 32. And Batman 66 meets Green Hornet. It picks up right where that television episode left off all those decades ago. Written by Kevin Smith and his buddy Ralph Garman as well. Also from DC, well, it looks like they're in the reprint business again. Forever Evil number 6 gets a second printing. Harley Quinn number 1 gets a fourth printing. And Harley Quinn 3 gets a second printing from DC. And I kind of want to point you toward another title that you may have heard about, but maybe not picked up yet. Tiny Titans returns in a new series called Tiny Titans Return to the Treehouse. If you like your superheroes miniaturized and maybe in kid-like fashion, well, this is the book that pretty much started that concept. You may want to take a look at that from DC. Over to IDW, G.I. Joe Origins Omnibus number 1 for less than $25 gives you pretty much everything for G.I. Joe. right from the beginning. So if you've wondered about picking up that title, here's a great way to start. Also from IDW and X-Files Art Gallery, first issue with some beautiful renditions of the X-Files universe done by some of the best artists around. Nailbiter number 1 gets a second printing from Image, and Nailbiter number 2 also hits this week. And Rise of the Magi, Mark Silvestri's project, begins this week with a number of different covers. Mark writes and does one of the variant covers as well for this new series from Image. Jimmy Palmiotti continues a transition of Painkiller Jane over to Marvel with another new series there called 22 Brides that begins this week. And you may have heard about Afterlife with Archie. It's Walking Dead meets Archie. A lot of folks think it's one of the best Archie titles in a long time, and the first few issues all contained in a trade paperback this week. One of the biggest cult movies of the 80s, Big Trouble in Little China, finally makes it to a comic series, thanks to Eric Powell, who's writing it. First issue of that's out this week, and also a lot of attention all over the world for Jim Butcher and his new novel, Skin Game. But now there's a new Jim Butcher comic this week as well. Dresden Files War Cry number 1 is out. Rye from Valiant gets a second printing, first issue of that is. Second issue is also out this week from Valiant. All this and more in a comic store near you. There's great ways to find the new ones. Check out a website called findacomicshop.com. You can use the comic book locator service at 1-888-COMIC-BOOK. Or there's a free link to find a store in your area right now on the front of comicmix.com.
The point.
Personal actor Lou Diamond Phillips is a familiar face, that's for sure. And more than likely, lately, you've caught him in the cable drama Longmire, where season 3 begins with Lou pretty much in the middle of the spotlight.
At the end of season 2, there were a number of cliffhangers, some real drama going on. Branch had been shot. Henry has been arrested for the murder of this man named Miller Beck, who's a meth head who killed Walt Longmire's wife. All of the characters are just embroiled in this incredible storm of events that are happening. And we start season 3 literally 5 minutes after season 2 ended. So we do not ease into this. I mean, we come out of the gate like a cannon. And, Walt is left to run around and put out all these fires. So the show just really, really starts on a high note. And I have to say, we're almost through finishing the season. We never let up. It just keeps pushing the bar higher and higher.
Another project pretty close to Lou is The 33. It's a movie that Lou is producing based on the true story of those Chilean miners from a couple of years ago.
It's an international cast. And we filmed the... right before Thanksgiving through February, I lost 18 pounds over the Christmas break, because those guys were, surviving on a spoonful of tuna and a sip of water a day. It is an incredibly moving and incredibly powerful story, and we should be seeing that around Christmas.
Besides being in front of the camera, Lou has a couple of other passions. One is poker, and the other is cooking. And I ask how that got started.
You just kind of pick it up along the way. My mother, Lucy, taught me. I was an only child, taught me how to cook early on. I got into college. My roommates, I was the only one that really cooked. A couple of my earlier, jobs were flipping burgers at Whataburger in Corpus Christi, Texas. I worked as a cook's assistant on the Navy base down there as well. And then when I had kids, I just started cooking more and more. I have to say one of the wonderful fringe benefits of this career is that I've traveled the world and I've eaten in some of the most amazing restaurants around the world. And I pick up little tidbits along the way. I'm one of those guys that'll say, hey, can I talk to the chef? What'd you put in that? And then I try it at home and it's just sort of blossomed into it to the point where, I've competed on shows on the Food Network and won cooking competitions. And I will often give away a dinner as a charity donation and go and cook for somebody in their homes. So it's just something that I really, really love. And for me, it's a bit zen, I forget about everything else and, make sure I don't, burn this off.
Broadway, movies, television, he's done all those. So what else would Lou like to try?
Oh, my goodness. Thanks for asking that. I've been so blessed with such a diverse career that, I've managed to do a lot of things. But there are things that, that I absolutely love that, I would like to get back to. I mean, directing is certainly one of them. I'm actually doing a bit of writing right now, and hopefully we'll be hearing about that in a year or so. But also, Broadway. I was on Broadway once with The King and I, and was nominated for a Tony. So the stage theater is something that I'm incredibly passionate about. And, you know, with the Longmire shooting schedule, it allows for some time during the remainder of the year to diversify and do other things. So, you know, getting back on stage, I think, would be a priority.
Lou Diamond Phillips in the third season of Longmire. New episodes every Monday on A&E. And, of course, you can always catch up on past seasons at aandetv.com. And the 33 is headed to theaters later this year. That does it for the podcast, but you know the rules. Pop culture waits for you 24/7 at Get the Point Radio. Online at getthepointradio.com, and any mobile device can take us along with a free app called iNet Radio. The podcast will be back in a few days on great websites like comicmix.com and michaeldavisworld.com, and in the iTunes podcast directory as well. And we will see you then right here.
Get the Point Radio.